Blog Talk Radio.
This is Black Noise Radio. We had a little delay trying to get up here because GRX and I was running our mouth on the Marty Smith Show. So hopefully we can get it going with Linus and Lucy.
Ecuadorian presidential election, the right-wing candidate Guillermo Lasso had vowed to remove Assange from the embassy if he won. But Lasso lost to President Rafael Correa's former vice president, Lenín Moreno, who said Assange is welcome to stay. Meanwhile, WikiLeaks recently began releasing a massive trove of secret CIA documents, exposing how the agency had developed tools to hack into and spy on principal phones, computers, and televisions all over the world. WikiLeaks described the leak as the largest ever release of confidential documents on the CIA.
WikiLeaks activity before the 2016 election is also still generating headlines. Just before the Democratic National Convention last July, WikiLeaks published 20,000 internal emails from the Democratic National Committee. Within 2 days, the head of the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, resigned her post in part because the emails showed the DNC worked behind the scenes to discredit and defeat Bernie Sanders, who was challenging Hillary Clinton for the nomination. Less than 3 months later, WikiLeaks began publishing internal emails from Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta. Soon, Donald Trump was praising WikiLeaks on the campaign trail.
This just came out.
WikiLeaks.
I love WikiLeaks.
Between October 7th. and Election Day, WikiLeaks would go on to publish 20,000 of the suggested emails, generating a rash of negative stories about the Clinton campaign.
U.S. intelligence agencies have accused Russia of hacking the DNC and Podesta accounts, but many questions still remain about what happened. During a recent congressional hearing, FBI Director James Comey placed the blame on Russia intelligence when questioned by Congressman Adam Schiff.
Do you know whether the Russian intelligence services dealt directly with WikiLeaks or whether they too used intermediary? We said they used some kind of cutout. They didn't deal directly with WikiLeaks, in contrast to DC leaks and Lucifer 2.0.
That was FBI Director James Comey on March 20th. Well, joining us now from the Ecuadorian Embassy in London is Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks. Julian, welcome back to Democracy Now.
Good morning, Amy.
Did Russia leak the documents, either the DNC documents or the John Podesta emails, to WikiLeaks?
We would say quite clearly that our source is not a member of any state, including the Russian government. Now, if you look at these statements by James Comey, James Clapper, sorry, going back a couple of months, statements by Barack Obama, they all are harmonious and without description. Now, what the U.S. Investigation by James Comey seems to be trying to say, at least in public, is that they perceived that there was some Russian hacking, or at least some hacking from somewhere, of the DNC, other institutions in the United States. In fact, the allegations are that several thousands of people were hacked in those operations.
How do you know it's not Russia? No, it's not a state actor, since you usually say you don't know who gives you documents.
We look very closely at our publications. We tend to come to a good understanding of them, and so we're not willing to go into details about our source because it might describe the sort of person they are, the sort of jurisdiction that they're in, which could put them at risk. But we have said clearly that our source is not a member of Russian state, and even the U.S. government is not suggesting that our source is a member of Russian state. And what appears to be going on is that the observation of hacking of thousands of people, or attempted hacking of thousands of people, that's quite normal in intelligence gathering activity for an election. Presumably that's being carried out by many states. I would be surprised if that doesn't include Russia. And over here, there's the publications of WikiLeaks. And what there is something in between the middle. So there's an allegation that, well, if there's been hacking here and there's publication over here, then it must be directly, causally, intentionally related. But so far, there's no evidence for that.
Julia, I want to turn to a Democratic Congressman, Adam Schiff, speaking at a hearing of the House Intelligence Committee last month.
Later in July, after the convention, the first stolen emails detrimental to Hillary Clinton appear on WikiLeaks. A hacker who goes by the moniker Lucifer 2 claims responsibility for hacking the DNC and giving the documents to WikiLeaks. The leading private cybersecurity firms, including CrowdStrike, Mandiant, and Threat Connect, review the evidence of the hack and conclude with high certainty that it was the work of APT 28 and APT 29. Who are known to be Russian intelligence services. The U.S. Intelligence Committee also later confirms that the documents were in fact stolen by Russian intelligence and Lucifer 2 acted as a front. Also in late July, candidate Trump praises WikiLeaks, says he loves them, and openly appeals to the Russians to hack his opponent's emails, telling them that they will be richly rewarded by the press.
That was Congressman Adam Schiff. Julian, I'm wondering if you could respond to some of the things he's saying in that statement.
Mr. Schiff is a Democratic congressman who's trying to whip up the kind of neo-Lukakian fervor in order to distract from the epic failure of Hillary Clinton and that team when they lost, of all people, to Donald Trump. So it's not particularly interesting. I think we should pull back and put things in context. The United States government, since 1950, has intervened in 81 elections, interfered, to use your language, in 81 elections. That is not including coups, which has overthrown the government. So there's a long history of the United States doing this to understand that the United States is in a glass house when it comes to allegations of attempting to interfere with or influence election results. But let's look at what is the real meat of this issue. How is it alleged that Russia has interfered in the U.S. election process? Well, they say there's been a variety of hacks. Well, that's quite normal intelligence gathering process as far as can be determined, and a few extremely ineffectual websites such as WikiLeaks or Griezmann 2.0 that no one really paid any attention to, and then there's our publications, which people really did pay attention to. Now, what is in our publications? Well, from our perspective, we have just published accurately and fairly what Hillary Clinton set the positions were in her secret speeches to Goldman Sachs, and in relation to the DNC and its attempt to rig the election to exclude the primary person, sorry, to exclude Bernie Sanders. So at the heart of this issue is whether people were told the truth about Hillary Clinton and the DNC. If there hadn't been an ugly truth there, it wouldn't have made any difference. There was an ugly truth, and we published accurately and fairly that ugly truth. Now, our source wasn't from the Russian state, but if it had been from a state, would we have suppressed that information before the election, or would we have accurately and fairly published it? Of course we would have published it.
But well, I want to ask you, in relation to what you said, we've had other guests on, for instance, Scott Horton, who said, yes, you're absolutely right. The United States has been involved in seeking to destabilize governments and overthrow governments all over the world. But Horton said that there's a difference between what Russia attempted to do and whether anyone in the Trump administration colluded with Russia or helped or cooperated or had conversations with the Russians as they were seeking to destabilize the U.S. elections. And Scott Horton said that would be a definitely a problematic issue for Trump. I'm wondering your thoughts about that.
I would agree that would be interesting and unusual. I don't think it's true. I think it is interesting that early on Trump and people around him took a position of reproachment towards Russia, a very strong position of reproachment towards Russia, and not a classically Republican position. I think that is interesting. It is somewhat compatible with Trump's statements going back a very long time. But I would be surprised if that turns out to be significant. Why do I say that? Trump had very little business success in Russia. He hasn't managed to build a hotel in Russia. He hasn't gotten any, as far as can be determined, any good deals in Russia. And when you see him making statements during the election campaign on the stage, hey, Russia, if you've got those emails, give them to the press. I'll be very pleased about it. When you see statements like that, this is not the sort of statement that you make if you are already, if you already have a communications channel and you're...
You don't say that if you're already a spy. Ha! That was the most important thing said this week.
Well.
Did you hear him?
Yep.
The only people who have not lied to us about this area of discourse in the last 8 years have been Chelsea Manning, Julian Assange, Edward Snowden, Gregory Rogers, and Marcella Smith. And Alex Jones when he caught in between the lie gap. He called
a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, he called out last week. I didn't get into it because I get to notice he called it out. Siri was a false flag. If he's saying it, see, he don't play for no sides either. Although he loved the Trump side, he went off on, I'm not no damn spy. Don't even associate me with Russia and you motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
he back gangster. You know how that is when you had to bang
on your own. He just went ahead and just put it out there.
He banged on his own folks and then told them, if you keep that bullshit up, you're going to have problems with all folks. which is what's going on. Julian Assange has no reason to lie. What you think?
I don't think he has a reason to lie. At least at this point, I don't.
When you see Hillary Clinton coming out the day before talking about bomb this, bomb that in Syria, on one level it's like, oh, will you shut up? You have this president who's like a man baby watching all of the news and the media, and he just looked, oh, well, Hillary said I could do it. You didn't want to see it like that, did you?
No.
But the Democrats are a part of this.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're a two-party system again, bro. The parties are in collusion, whether we want to believe that or not, because they want to stay in power.
I'm going to hit you with some obscure Marty-ism. Barack Obama has been silent because for the last 3 months, the president is actually executing the things that he could not have done as President Obama because the Republicans went away from the same agenda that Trump has. But when you have an articulate black guy and you really think that that represents your social change because you're a racist fucker, this is what happens. Don't come park in front of my house. Don't shit out of my lawn. Leave my dog alone. I said it. That's what happens. This is a complicit Americana.
Well, like I said before, you know, they're not going. It's all a divine plan, bro. You know what I'm saying?
It's not a divine plan.
Well, what I'm saying, it's a divine plan with their foolishness. They already got a plan that they're implementing, whether it's we got Obama, whether it's the knucklehead we got in office now, or any of those past knuckleheads. The leadoff, the handoff has always been the same. This is what I did. This is why we know why we're doing it, and here's the handoff. This time the handoff is to an idiot who needs to keep his mouth shut and act presidential and just get out of office, work his way through and get out of office. He ain't doing that right now.
Yeah, but it's the same policy.
Right, same policy.
He ain't no different than Bush or Obama. He actually isn't worse yet. He gonna get there. He's not worse yet.
He working on it.
It's the same policy, so... Okay, if Obama affects your household with $3.99 gas, president is like, fuck that. You're going to pay $5.99. And we're going to bomb up countries that got the gas and the oil.
Yeah, because we're trying to take that over.
If you like $1 tacos, you're going to be paying $2 because we're going to tax the people sending their taco truck money back to Mexico. They issue checks at the recycler for less than $50 with no name on it. That didn't happen to me this morning. They put my name on it. It was just a $16 check. They gonna put my name on it. Do you think they gonna put Rafael Garcia and Mr. Vega and Mr. Gutierrez and all those other undocumented folks? So they can't cash their check? And so they can track their shit if they can? Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard you.
Yeah. This next track is called Evidence from Thelonious Monk. We want to thank GRX for being on the planet. Show is getting heavy, folks.
Well, it's been heavy when it started, bro.
Ain't our fault. It ain't our fault. Thank you for listening. we have no more time because this is a 10-minute track. DRX, I'm going to holler at you soon.
All right, out.
Thank you. Black Noise Radio.